Well, we're going to change the mood a little bit now because we began our service a few weeks ago with a song from 1965 in the Rolling Stones. Do you remember that? It must have been a good year because another great song came out in 1965. Here it is.
Time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to laugh, a time to weep. To everything turn, turn. There is a season, turn, 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 and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to build up, a time to break down, a time to dance, a time to mourn, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones to.
Stop there. That's the birds and turn, turn, turn. And apart from those words, turn, 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 it is almost verbatim from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which is where we are this morning. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people to do than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. Now, I've entitled this morning's message, Living Through the Seasons of Life. The weather has turned much colder these past couple of weeks, and we're missing the heating. Not many of us are going out now without a coat or a jumper on. But of course, there are always exceptions to the rule. Young people, I notice, have an absolute aversion to wearing coats. You see them standing at the bus stop, freezing, but there is resistance to a change in the weather. I guess it's just not cool to wear a coat, I don't know, but they look awfully cold. You know, it's rather like that with some people and the seasons of their lives. When the seasons change, so should their wardrobe. The key is to know what season you're in and to live appropriately for the season. I think what Solomon is getting at through these verses, often quoted at funerals, aren't they? There are 14 pairs of opposites here. I think what Solomon is getting at is that you cannot stop change. Change is inevitable in our lives, and sometimes it comes most unexpectedly. We're in a new season right now, a football season. Ipswich even won yesterday. It's taken a while, hasn't it? Arthur was away, so perhaps that needs to stay away. Okay. But we are in a new season right now, and I don't just mean the autumn. This is a new season for our family and for the church. In our family this year, we have moved to a new house. I have moved job. My eldest son has moved job and got married. My youngest son's just started work. My mother was 18, my daughter was 18, and my wife has a significant birthday coming up very shortly. It's been a season of incredible change. And for the church too. We are in a new season, aren't we? There were previous seasons under the ministry of Robert Finlay and then Aubrey Cardy. But it's a new season and it's not going to be the same. And there may be changes you like and changes you resist. But we can't go back to seasons past. Someone was once telling me there were once 600 people in the Sunday school here. We can't go back there, but we need to embrace the potential of this season that we're in. Sadly, some people spend all their lives looking back, either wishing they were in the past or wishing they could change the past. For other people, all they think about is the future. You hear people say things like, "It'll be all right when I retire." "It'll be all right when I retire." Or even, I've heard people say, "It will be all right when I get my inheritance." That they think that life is all going to be transformed in an instant. And people are living as if today didn't really count, either living in the past or living in the future. But actually, we have no certainty of tomorrow. I read of a guy my age, 53, walking along a pavement in London this week. Someone opened a window high up to clean it, and the window fell out. And it killed him on the spot. Over 1,500 people in Indonesia were swept into eternity with no warning because the warnings weren't working properly. And there are no guarantees of tomorrow and that season. Are we ready to meet our Creator? It says in verse 15, doesn't it? Whatever it is, has already been, and what will be has been, and God will call the past to account. One day we will meet our Creator God, and we will give an account to him on our own, of ourselves, who can stand before such a holy God? But some of us, we can say, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, who stood in our place at the cross. And then, when Christ is our Saviour, our life can start to count for something that will go on forever. The first thing, I only got 2 points, that's quite good, isn't it? 2 points. The first thing I believe Solomon is encouraging us to do this morning is to embrace the season of life you are in. Embrace the season of life you are in. Verse 12. I know there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. Do you have joy in God in the season you are in? Have you embraced the season that God has allowed you just now? Are you living in it confident in Him, no matter what may be going on in the externals, whatever may be going on in your life? Do you know God has your back? What stage of life are you in? If we call the early years of our life the spring, spring has sprung for most of us, and we're way beyond that. There is new life, isn't there? And there is growth from 0 to 18, or maybe into our early 20s if we're doing university. It's all about education. It's all about preparing for adulthood, isn't it? But you know, it seems to me that some people want to live in an eternal spring and never grow up. I know we all have a bit of a big kid in us at times. But there actually comes a point where we have to wake up to ourselves and realize that we're not children anymore. That mum and dad can't hold our hand forever, and that actually we have to start taking responsibility for our own lives, for our jobs, for our homes, for our families, and for our own personal spiritual welfare. It's between you and God, between me and God. We need to own it. The Apostle Paul puts it like this, 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. Well, for the most part. We all love the Skeletrics. But we have to grow up. I've seen many young people over the years. They enjoy attending the youth clubs and acting the fool, and there's a place for all that, but then they grow older. And many of those young people seem to drift away from church and from God. Why? Because there comes a point where you can't just take, but you have to start giving back to God. And when I was a teenager, there was a guy who was a role model to me, a guy called Len. He was in his 20s. And I saw that his joy in God came out of serving others. And he used to drive us everywhere, and he used to arrange everything for us. And he just served God and got as much joy out of serving as ever he did as a young person receiving. And he was an inspiration to me to want to serve others. Another youth leader encouraged me, took me aside and said, I think you have this gift. God wants to use you. But are we willing to grow up and to step up and to take responsibility? Because actually, as a church, we will need to create a new generation of leaders, because we're... Some of us aren't going to be here forever. Whether that's people who are employed full time in the church in preaching or in voluntary work, those who are young, are you willing to step up to the mark? If the church is to have a future, then we need people to step up. Some of you are in the summer years, 20s and 30s, young adults living life to the full, trying to balance things like marriage and work and children, and life is 100 miles an hour. It doesn't seem so long since you came out of school, but now suddenly you have huge responsibilities. Some days you're smiling and on top of things, and other days you're weeping and you just feel like giving up. For a few days it ticks along smoothly, then a child is home ill or the car breaks down or you find yourself unemployed. And life is a heady mix of good and bad circumstances. How do you maintain perspective when life is so fast? Only by maintaining and taking time for that relationship with God and putting all those things in his basket, because he is sufficient. Some of us are in the autumn, and there's a realization, isn't there, that life doesn't go on forever, and the joints are stiffening up a bit, and the hair is disappearing through the head and emerging out through the ears and the nose. And we're trying to desperately stave off the onslaught of winter, diet and fitness regimes. Been fitter than I've been for years, somebody says. But we can't hold back the winter forever. Autumn kind of represents, doesn't it, if you look at the trees, the onset of decay. And yet, you know, the autumn can also be incredibly beautiful. It's my wife's favourite season of the year. That even though the leaves are dying, there's something beautiful to see. I wonder, are the autumn years of our lives producing something beautiful for God? We have life experience now to offer the younger generation, if they're willing to listen. We have practical and spiritual experience. Just on Monday there, my oldest son phones up. He's trying to put up the curtain rails in the bedroom. What do I do? I soon realised that the drill he had wasn't man enough for the job. I was able to just go down and I'm no DIY expert, but I have stuck up some things over the years, and so I was able to help him with it. And that's the same in the church. I'm delighted to be leading a study group for people younger than myself, because hopefully Raquel and I can pass on some experience to people. Autumn's a great day of opportunity. The flesh is weaker, but actually you have tremendous things to offer to God and hopefully to others. Then there are those who are in the winter of your lives. You know you're in the latter years. But I wonder, are you as bitter as the cold weather? As you know, the winter can also be beautiful. Some older folk are a delight to be with. It's like getting close to a warm fire, isn't it? To be in their presence, because they bring love and wisdom and comfort to many. Others just can't accept it, or become miserable or cynical, or continually harp on about the good old days. That was a program, wasn't it? The 70s. The good old days. And people bemoan young people today. You know, I'm encouraged to see how engaged many of the older folk in the church are here, still using their time and their energy in the service of God in their retirement. Hopefully, too, you also have more time to pray, to take that time to pray, for those who are in the 100-mile-an-hour busyness of life, who find it a struggle to snatch 5 minutes. You see, I think it's so important that we embrace the season that we're in. And it's not just about age, because we actually might be in a season of unemployment or a season of divorce, or a long season of singleness. It's possible, you see, we could get angry with God because we are divorced or widowed or had never been married. And the reality is that some of these things we don't have any control over. And we're suddenly thrust into a season that we didn't ask for, or a season we wouldn't have chosen. But we do have a choice in how we react in that season. We can either blame God or we can embrace God. We can draw close to God in our struggle and ask Him to help with our circumstances, or we can try and go it alone. I know it's difficult to believe it sometimes, but He is ultimately working all things together for the good of those that love Him. And if we love Him, He will even work through our tragedies and our struggles to achieve His ultimate end. While each time and season may appear rather random, the underlying message is this: that God has a purpose in everything. Here I'm going back to the old King James Version, because I think it's better translation of verse 1. Don't often go there, but to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. That God has a purpose for everything. Sometimes He causes things to happen in our lives, and other times He permits, He allows things to happen. If we take the example of Jesus Christ coming into the world, He caused Mary to become pregnant and have a child through the Holy Spirit. But later, God permitted Jesus to be taken by men and to be crucified by evil men. He allowed that to happen, and that seems, how could He allow that to happen? Why? Because even through that dreadful act, God achieved His purpose, didn't He? Namely, our salvation. Unless Jesus had died, there was no one to take the sacrifice for us. And so God allowed something that seemed terrible to happen and achieved a greater purpose in the end. And that's how it can be in our lives if we embrace God. If we believe that there is a sovereign God who loves us completely and that He has an ultimate purpose for our lives, then we can trust Him even when life gets really tough. God loved us so much to send us Jesus to save us, and so we can know that He will lead us, if we follow Him, to something that is infinitely better ahead. But if God isn't in the picture and we're just living life under the sun without reference to God, then the changes of circumstances of life are just going to throw us off course and throw us into a panic, because we don't know where to go. Do you believe what it says in verse 11? He makes all things beautiful in His time. But let's read the whole verse. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. There are things that happen in our lives that we just don't understand, and we say, God, what are you doing? But we have to trust that he knows. I'm reminded of an old poem, the author we're not certain about, being attributed to various people, but this is the message it conveys. It's called The Weaver. It says this: my life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colours he weaves so steadily. Oft times he weaveth sorrow, and I in foolish pride forget he sees the upper and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent and the shuttles cease to fly will God roll back the canvas and explain the reason why. The dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hand as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern he has planned. And isn't it like that, that our life is like that garment? God is working in it and through it, and we only kind of see the underside. We don't see the completed article, but we will one day, and God will be able to explain his reasons to us for why he allows certain things. But it, you know, actually, if life just rolled along merrily and everything went to plan as we want it, would we really rely on God? Would we really trust him, or would we just do everything in our own strength? It is in the struggles that I've found with people that they have been the times that they've got closest to God, and God has seemed so much more real to them. And whilst I wouldn't wish the struggles on you, I wish the relationship with God on you. So however hard it is, you have a choice. You can blame God or you can run to God. Do you trust him? You see, God sees that whole picture. We can be sure, if we're Christians, that there is going to be a beautiful outcome in the end. There is actually going to be an eternal spring around the corner, isn't there? A new heaven and a new earth that, if we're believers, we're going to be a part of, where all the sadness and the struggles of this life will be forgotten as we enter into his perfection. I don't drink the water, usually, but is that glass half empty or half full? Is it half empty or half full? I wonder which you are. Are you a natural pessimist or an optimist? Thankfully, I'm an optimist, generally. But you know, we can all be optimists if we've got God in our hearts and our lives. We can not only be optimists, we can be certain of a glorious future with him. He can turn our most difficult circumstances to his glory, and we can be sure he is working things out. I hope that's where your trust is, because who knows what the wind's bringing in tomorrow. Amen.